It is that time of the week. Once again, Talk Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. This is the elephant in the room. The presentation of the Republican Committee of Allegheny County, RCAC, Allegheny.gop, for more information on the tireless work they do for the community and the betterment of the region via the Republican Party and their initiatives. And full house here today, including one Mr. John Schneider, the executive director of said RCAC. Good afternoon, John. You have some words for the people, do you not?
I do. Thank you, Daryl. And yeah, it's great to be here with you guys here. It's kind of, I don't want to say sad, but you know, I want to let our listeners know that we will be discontinuing the show after this episode airs. We may be going in a different direction, but I just want to thank our listeners who tuned in every week. You know, we began the show, I think the first episode was May 7th of 2022. And we recorded about 140-ish episodes. But it's been a fun journey all the way. We've had some great hosts, candidates. We've had, you know, candidates, civic leaders, just, you know, community leaders. And it's been a fun ride. You know, I just want to tip of the cap to Sam DeMarco for his vision for starting this. But I think we're probably going to be moving in a different direction. But stay tuned, and we'll be sharing more information shortly. So thank you, Daryl. Thank you for working with me all these weeks. You know, I know it's always been last minute texting you and saying, hey, man, you know.
That's what radio is, John. That's what radio is. You're not as privy to that part as I am. That's my everyday. But I'm sure that's your everyday, too, and to an extent. But this really, you know, all the episodes of Elephant in the Room can be found, right, on
correct.
On Allegheny.gop. And if you want to take a look at the last almost 3 years as the framework of what the Allegheny County Republican Committee has done and almost the story of the Republican Party and how transformative it's been over the past 3 years alone, that's a great compendium to which to do it, really.
Yeah, and thank you, Daryl, for actually reminding me of that. Yes, all of our episodes are posted on our we have them on Spotify, or Apple Music and Amazon Music, but we have every episode up there going all the way back to May of 2022. So
who'd you bring with us this time around for the last time?
Bob Krankovic is joining us in studio today, who is a leader with the Republican Committee in McCandless, and David Gehring, who is our vice chair of City of Pittsburgh Republican Committee District 2. So thank you guys for being here, and I appreciate you guys being here, especially on our last episode. So thank you.
Thank you, John. It's an honor to be with you. And also big hat tip to Sam DeMarco too for having the vision to be able to put out this media, which is good. You know, it's a little bit sad, but there's more as a great man once said, the best is yet to come. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
So, yeah, thank you for that. Thank you, Sam DeMarco. Thank you, Jason Ritchie, our current chair, who's doing fantastic work as it is. And I also want to thank somebody that's near and dear to my heart, at least relatively, I should say, and near in geography to me, Suzanne Falagi. So I want to thank her for everything that she's doing, too. Yep, I want to thank, I also want to thank my good friend and my brother from another mother here, my good friend, Sergeant David Gehring.
Thanks, Bobby. So I saw you Tuesday night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of surveilled the vote tallies as they were coming in on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really not a great outcome for us. I know we lost a Senate seat that should have been a shoe-in.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have the turnout we wanted. Sometimes that happens. That's just kind of a reminder to not get complacent and that you have to show up every time. You can't take anything, you know, and assume you have it in the bag just because you're plus 10 or plus 15 in the red or something like that.
Right, right.
We need to show up. We need to get our neighbors and our family to show up. We have to make sure that our kids that are of age are registering and they're voting. And if it's too inconvenient for you, by all means, by God, we'd love for you to vote by mail.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's too inconvenient, I mean, I understand people work and it was a special election. I got all that. I know it's tough. the special election is tough, and people that check that box to get a mail-in ballot mailed to them every single cycle, they have an advantage because it's an off-cycle election, and that's their reminder. And they just have to fill it out and send it right back in. And usually they fill it out based on what party they are only.
True.
There ain't a whole lot of investigation that goes into that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to, you know, give credit and give props to Chuck Davis and his volunteers that came from all over to help him mm-hmm. and his campaign team. Mm-hmm. They did a phenomenal job. We overperformed pretty high in that election.
Mm-hmm.
As we were watching numbers come in, I mean, the thing that really killed us on that, obviously, I mean, we lost that pretty bad last cycle in 2023, but the thing that really killed us was the mail-in vote.
Right.
I mean, because
right.
mail-in vote came in for, I mean, off of memory, I don't have it in front of me, but it was like 80% blue, right?
Something like that.
And that's just a margin that's tough to make up.
It's a tall climb, that's for sure.
But as we were watching numbers come in, we saw different precincts that are pretty good precincts as far as getting vote totals. Ones where we expect 100 votes or more to come in. I mean, it's a smaller state rep race, but where we expect 100 votes or more to come in, we're looking at them, and we had huge flips
mm-hmm.
in those precincts outside of the mail-in ballots.
Right.
And this is just from 2023. This isn't from a long time ago before we had mail-in ballots.
Right.
But we
right.
had major swings where we might have been down, you know, 80, 100,
mm-hmm.
whatever votes in favor of Democrats. We actually swung that vote plus 50 red, plus 80 red, plus 100 red.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, when you start the day out, you know, at 80-20 on a mail-in, that's a lot of ground to make up.
Right. That's exactly right.
But they did overperform. There was a lot to be happy with. There was a lot to build off of. We saw some areas that we could exploit mm-hmm. and maybe, you know, gain some ground as far as getting some committees started or
mm-hmm.
a couple door-knocking campaigns to get out there and talk to the neighbors and let people know we're here, stuff like that. So there was a lot to be encouraged about.
Sure.
But, you know, hats off to the Democrat Party for flipping that seat, that Senate seat. I mean, you mm-hmm. know, that's hard work for them. They put in the work and,
well,
you know, they strategized and made it happen.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to get at. My larger point, especially with regards to, you know, you look, as I believe it was James Carville that said infamously, it's Pennsylvania is essentially Pittsburgh on the western side, Philadelphia on the eastern side, and Alabama in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my opinion, with regards to the special election, and all these special elections are their own, they're their own bird, they're their own vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you have to treat them like they're their own vehicle too, because if you don't, then we unfortunately have results like we did what was it last Tuesday here. And my opinion is that it seems like, and of course I don't want to speak out of school here, but it looks like whenever the eastern side of the state usually gets the more resources and that sort of stuff, and that's where that kind of kicks us right in the behind, as it were. So it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. But to your point, Chuck, I think, had not only did he have a Herculean effort, but I also think he gave everybody in that Mon Valley at House District 35 a little bit of hope, which
is
good.
So you were there with us Tuesday night. But as we were doing the numbers as they were coming in, I think we were at like, what, 95% or something like that.
Mm.
And the number that we ran, in contrast to the last election cycle down there, it was like, we cut the margin by like 30% or something like that.
Something like it.
As far as like what their lead was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's huge.
It is big.
So some people just, and I want to win.
Oh,
trust
of course.
Me, I want to win.
Same here.
But I'm encouraged by the progress that was made
mm-hmm.
in that loss.
Mm.
Sometimes you lose a battle, but you got to keep fighting, and you lose a few more,
sure.
But you got to keep fighting, and eventually you win the war, you know?
Well said.
And I'll give you this much as well. One other thing that I'm encouraged by is when we fill up a slate and when we get out there and we hit doors, when we donate money, when we get involved and volunteer in any way that we can, in any capacity, your involvement, I don't care if it's just knocking on the doors in your neighborhood or talking to your friends and family and your neighbors. If that's all you do, God bless. We appreciate it. It's impactful.
Definitely.
It means something. And all of those little things add up to a big thing. There's a snowball effect there. But when we run these races the way we do and we can fill slates up, we force the Democrats to put better candidates forward as well.
True.
That prevents them from being able to just put, you know, in some instances, just put these psycho far left, you know, progressives in there. You know, if you lose to kind of like a, like, let's just say like an old standard Democrat, like an old school, you know, there are a few of those left. Yeah, there are a few of those left. And, and I mean, like sometimes it's just as bad because of how well their party holds the line on stuff.
Sure.
I mean, they're just, it's incredible how good they are at just holding the line when they try to vote for something.
Regardless of what state, the issue is.
Be it national. When they come up with something, when they write down a game plan, they execute. They hold the line on it. There's not all this infighting that we have where these five people aren't going to vote for this person or these you know, three or four people, they're going to cut our majority because they're not going to get what they want. You know, they hold the line, and that's awesome. So sometimes it can be just as bad because that, you know, moderate Democrat's still going to hold a line with the progressive sometimes. Sure. But, you know, it's a better outcome for everybody whenever we go and we give them a good fight. So, you know, great job to everybody that was involved in that campaign and that was involved in the outreach. And I think we have a lot that we can build off of there.
Well said.
I'm encouraged. And I'm grateful, and you know I'm ready to get back up and take another punch. So let's move on though. What do you think about some of the local politics that we've had going on in the county? So I read an article a week or so ago, and this article that I read was basically that in District 2 there was a three candidate primary, and it looked like one person was being challenged in court for signatures, and another person was being challenged for something in the financial disclosures or something like that. It was kind of vague. But it looks like there's only going to be one candidate for the Democrat Party on the ballot now in District 2.
Okay.
Some people I saw online were a little bit infuriated by that. They didn't understand that that's kind of, let's say, business as usual.
Right.
You know, where if you can see something that's messed up in someone's paperwork or something that's, you know, where they didn't cross their T's and dot their I's, you know, maybe they just didn't have the guidance, you know, and you can save yourself a primary by going and requesting those documents to be, you know, held in front of a judge and make sure they stand up to scrutiny. And this is not an uncommon thing. A lot of people thought it was like, oh, this is really crooked. Oh, this is really crooked. And I'm not saying it is or isn't, but I'm saying it's not uncommon.
No, not at all. And it happens on both sides, too.
It happens on both sides. And, and you know, we want everybody. I don't want to get on the ballot. I don't want you to get on the ballot, regardless of what party you are. If your signatures are bad or if they're from outside of your district or if it's, you know, I mean, because these are people that are supposed to be managing our communities, right?
True.
So if you're going to be managing my city or if you're going to be managing my county or something like that, you know, like
if they're going to fudge that, what else are they going to fudge?
Right. Yeah. For lack of a better term. as far as competencies, and I'm not saying that anybody that happened to is incompetent. I'm not saying that because I don't think any of those people are stupid people.
No.
By the way. On that side, they all seem like, you know, pretty normal people to me. It's just a matter of, you know, not having that, like I said, guidance and not having maybe been there, done that and known that, you know, you better make sure your stuff is tight And you better make sure, because like as far as Aaron and I went out and we got signatures and we knew we were getting challenged.
Right.
100%.
Oh, we knew it. Yeah.
We knew. We had people calling us, telling, hey, just so you know.
Just so you know. It's going to happen. Yeah.
It's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
So what did we do? We went out and we got over, we needed 100. Mm-hmm. We went out and got over 200.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to waste your money and you, I promise you, go ahead.
Paying legal fees,
go ahead.
And all kinds of stuff.
Buy them. You go ahead and you request that. You spend all your money on attorneys so you don't have any left for, you know, the general election or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because you ain't getting 100 signatures off of us. There might be a couple that, you know, maybe this person or maybe that person.
Maybe they put in 123 and they should have put in 125 West Lane.
Or they run the whole PGH instead of Pittsburgh or something.
Something
like that.
And that does happen.
Which, I'll be honest, I think that's kind of dumb.
I agree.
Because everyone knows that PGH is Pittsburgh.
Or better yet.
I'm sorry.
Better yet, if you have on your mailing address Pittsburgh and you know, like, for example, I happen to be out in McCandless. I'm not going to say McCandless, PA. Right. I'm going to say Pittsburgh, PA. Yeah. People know where that is. Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with you. But, and also to your point, too, you also need registered Republican. In my case, whenever I ran for state committee, mm-hmm. I even had my neighbor who, it happened to be a split household. Mm-hmm. The gentleman was a Democrat and the wife was a Republican. And I said, well, was the missus here? And I said, and the gentleman replied back, no, she's not here, but I'm also registered. I said, well, what are you registered as? Democrat. I go, sorry, I can't take your signature.
Yeah. Well, some
and
people,
that's the thing.
We were checking people. Mm-hmm. There were people that said they were registered Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And they got caught up in that. Whatever that funky thing was around election time where there were people that were registering and it wasn't going through, like there was some kind of glitch in the system for a couple weeks or whatever.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
So these people got caught up in it. And so we were, oh, well, you can't sign for us today, but we can get you registered.
Sure.
You know, so, and if you'd like, we can come back once you're on the list, you know, whatever. But we were running into people that, oh, no, I think I'm registered as a Republican. Mm-hmm. I think I changed that a couple years ago, and it never took.
Mm.
And maybe they never checked or they never got the card and they just assumed that it
really?
Was. Really? Yeah, so, or you have people that say, well, I vote Republican. Is that okay? You know what I mean?
Right, oh, yeah.
So you run into that a little bit. So, like, mm-hmm. I understand that sometimes those signatures can get messed up and it's not nefarious.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that.
And it's unintentional.
It can be nefarious and it can also be a mistake.
True.
You know, so I think you got to give everybody a little bit of grace, but I did see that a lot of people were upset by that because, mm-hmm. you know, they wanted to see a primary.
Right.
And a lot of people felt like, I think this girl got, Amanda, I think she got whittled down to within like 5 signatures of 100.
Oh,
and there are a lot, there are a lot of people that are online.
They're very upset.
And they're upset about it, you know, because they feel like, hey, you know, you're kind of, you know, you're kind of jacking our candidate around and and was this really honest as far as what you did? And, you know, again, everything has to be, you know, done by the book and by the letter of the law. But I'll be honest with you. My personal opinion, I totally understand it, but I like to see that primary. And I wish those candidates would have had, you know, somebody that was in their corner making sure that they were doing the right thing.
Right.
And to me, maybe that is a little bit more of a black eye on the Pittsburgh Democrat committee, more so than the candidates.
Well said.
Because we filled our slate as best as we could, let me say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But all of our candidates got on. So as much as we're in the walk phase, you know, maybe even the end of the crawl phase, actually, if I'm being totally honest.
Hmm.
You know, we got all of our candidates on.
Sure.
So we were able to give them, you know, that guidance and we were able to coach them in that and make sure they knew what they had to do. So I don't know, but that's the news on that. And also they had like a mayoral forum. Right? Mm. They had a mayoral forum yesterday.
I believe I did see that.
We didn't
that.
Make
yes.
it because we had a YR.
We had a YR reorganization meeting.
Yeah, where we had to vote. So we had to make sure we had a quorum there. So I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did catch some of the spark notes.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
I didn't get a chance to catch any of those spark notes. I did see all the our candidates there, which was good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, some of the spark notes are, we know that Corey tries to paint himself as a
quote-unquote
moderate or a conservative Democrat or something like that, which is amazing.
Yeah.
That's insane. And let me be totally transparent here.
You mean Peggy Hill.
Peggy Hill. Let me be totally transparent here.
Mm.
I like Ed Gainey way more than I like Corey O'Connor.
No kidding.
I like him as a guy.
Yeah.
And I come at him sometimes just because I'm like, well, like the stuff that you're doing is dumb.
Right.
And like, I don't think that his people are on the up and up. I think that his team, I think they're corrupt for sure. I mean, that's a longer podcast for sure. But yeah, as a guy, as a person, as a politician, he's more honest.
Yeah, true.
He's 100% more honest than Corey O'Connor. Corey O'Connor's out here trying to say, "Oh, I'm the Republican, or I'm getting the Republican support because I'm the conservative Democrat. I'm the moderate." Brother, 6 years ago, you were with Bobby. You were with Billy. Peduto.
Billy Peduto. Yeah.
Trying to ban guns in Pittsburgh. What are you talking about?
And who was right there? My good friend Sergeant David Guerin.
That's
was
right.
There. He was out there, and that's where I first saw you. I was "Hey, I know this cat because I saw you on WTAE." Ironically enough.
Yeah, I was. I wasn't going to let that go.
You were fighting him tooth and nail, proverbially, of course. But
physically, I'll fight him too. I don't care. Where you want to meet? Yeah.
Hey, you have red hair. You came out of the womb fighting.
That's okay? Right.
Who are we kidding here?
Fighting Irish.
That's right.
But he goes around trying to say that he's a conservative Democrat and he's the moderate. My brother, in my opinion, Ed Gainey ate him in that last debate.
Mm.
Because everything he brought up about Ed's like, yeah, you signed off on that.
Yeah.
You've never been against this until now.
Right. You're magically against it.
You helped us get here, right? and he tries to play this stuff, and he's calling all these people in the background trying to get support. He's calling a ton of conservatives trying to get support.
Yeah.
And I mean that's just, I know 100%. Like, I'm talking to people that he's talked to, right?
Yeah, we know people that he spoke to.
Right. And I don't like the stuff Ed Gainey's doing, especially in the city of Pittsburgh.
Especially with parking.
But that's happened way before Ed.
Yeah, true.
But this whole thing where he was talking about in his last election that he wanted to make downtown, right, a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Listen, you can be wrong, but if you're honest about what your intentions are and what you're trying to do, that goes a long way with me.
Mm.
I think he's completely wrong.
Right.
I think he's a fool. I think the people that work for him are fools. There are some good people down there too, but
sure.
Generally speaking, they're foolish. I mean, they're doing silly stuff. You're how many years into your cycle right now, of service with the city as the mayor, you haven't cleaned up anything.
Right.
So,
or even crazier is that, I think Ed Gainey is more of an in-your-face guy where he tells you he's going to do something.
Yeah.
He's actually trying to do it.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like you said, magical O'Connor is like, hey, like, I plan on doing this. I plan on doing this. And Gainey's like, dude, we ran this all by you. Like, what do you mean to tell me you're magically coming up
with
these
possessions? Yeah, you were in the group chat, my man. Yeah,
exactly.
You were in the group chat.
You were in the Signal chat.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. What a nightmare that was, huh?
You ain't
but
kidding.
Yeah, I mean, he's still beating his chest about all that, the progressives are going to be progressives and we had West and Moreno down there and they represented themselves, respectfully and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And, they both have good points. Tony's like more of the, anti-corruption guy.
Sure.
I think you could paint that. And,
Tony was a former policeman too.
Yeah, right. He was a detective. West is a small business owner. He's very passionate about small business. Mm-hmm. He's very passionate about, hope for the city. He wants to bring business in.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he knows, the recipe for that.
Right.
And, I think they're both good candidates. I think it helps us to have a primary and let people see the spectrum that we have as far as a broad spectrum of ideas mm-hmm. you know, from good candidates, good people that think that they can do better for the city and fix things.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. Okay.
You know what, I'm going to cut you guys off real quick. We're about ready to take a break here.
And, sure.
We're going to take a break here real quick. Just right off time. Yeah, this is a great conversation. I don't cut you off too much, Dave, but you know, just make sure we take care of business. As Sam says, we like to pay the bills. And let's hop into that topic real quick when we come right back here. Talking Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. Elephant in the room. That is what this is. Here on the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJS, the presentation in conjunction with the great folks at the RCAC, Republican Committee of Allegheny County. You heard John Schneider, the executive director, earlier talk about that. But Allegheny.gop for more information on all the great initiatives they have, all the great things they've got going on here to boost the signal of the Republican Party in Allegheny County. You could also listen to past episodes of Elephant in the Room via that website, Allegheny.gop. We'll be right back after this. This is the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. Stay close. Talking Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. Back out of here. Segment number two of Elephant in the Room. Final episode. You heard John Schneider talk about that earlier. Very sad to see these guys go. The program presented in conjunction with the great folks at the RCAC, Republican Committee of Allegheny County. Allegheny.gop. More information on all the great stuff they do to boost the signal of the Republican Party in Allegheny County, including our fine gentleman right here. Please reintroduce yourself, as Jay-Z would say.
Yes, sir. My name is Bob Krankovic. I'm an accountant here in McCandless, and I'm a small business owner. I mostly do tax work. The website is PatriotFinancialServ.com, PatriotFinancialServ.com, and we're also taking last minute returns in case anybody wants to file here.
You actually have a second minute to do this now?
Yes, sir. Yes, wow. I do. Yeah.
We're what, T-minus 3 weeks or so away T-minus, from the big day?
Thereabouts. Yeah.
How are you holding up, for real? How are you
good,
holding up?
Good, good. I have a solid book of business that we kick them out as quickly and as efficiently as humanly possible.
There you go. All right, good stuff.
Thank you, my brother.
And this is Dave Gehring. I'm the vice chair of District 2 with the Pittsburgh Republican City Committee, and I'm also one of the young Republicans.
Yes, sir. Here. Yes, sir. Same here. And yeah. As you were going to jump into that topic, Dave, and pardon me here, I'm going to let you go forward with that after you.
As far as the housing?
And the housing. And I guess my initial inclination, especially with regards to real estate, is that, you know, if you really think about it, the president seemingly made quite a bit of money with regards to real estate, and not commercial. Only that, commercial, and he also has multi-units and that sort of stuff too. So I guess that I get a little bit nervous when I see through various media that says, oh, a certain bank, let's say that rhymes with Schmay P. Morgan, maybe, or they're doing these seemingly rent for homes now, which I don't particularly care for. And to me, in my opinion, you know, that's seemingly the model of the Chinese Communist Party. They're saying, oh, yeah, here, we're going to let you rent here for 30 years. You're not going to own the asset by the time you're done with it. I call me crazy. Let is me that Communist sure. 101 or is it?
Well, I think no, but it is, in my opinion, a corporatocracy, which is maybe just as bad, but I like to be definitive about my thoughts with that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Are you talking about some of these companies, organizations they're trying to start now, where it's like you can buy shares of a house
shares
of a house?
No, I actually don't mind that concept, because I think at least you're, not only are you participating in the asset and you're participating in the cash flow, but you also have the ability to liquidate those, I think, at your leisure.
Yeah.
So it's more of a power position for you. But no, I'm saying people like JP Morgan and various other banks that are just doing, seemingly you rent there and you don't own it at the end of the process, which I don't like.
Yeah, no renters are ever going to own anything. Well, here's so the gist of the article was basically talking about the volume of ownership that some of these companies are coming in and taking. My feeling on that, which, you know, sometimes, and I feel like we as a Republican Party, we struggle with this because, and I'm not saying I struggle with it.
Sure.
I don't struggle with this. I am very black and white with this. And maybe I'm a lot more to the center with this than I am with a lot of other things.
Yeah.
I don't struggle with this at all, but the party does, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
They struggle with sometimes supporting corporations too much instead of people.
Mm.
You know, at the end of the day, we're a society. At the end of the day, we're a culture. At the end of the day, we're a community. You know, and this is something that I've talked to you personally about, where I've had a little bit of pushback with at least even the Trump administration with some of the changes they've made, where they're trying to view our country as an economic zone, which I don't view it as an economic zone. Sure. And I won't view it as an economic zone.
Sure.
But like in relation, you know, locally, I feel, and this is just my opinion, this isn't something that I, you know, memorized that somebody else said. This is me looking around.
Sure.
This is me doing the math. This is me being almost 40 years old here in a few years. I'm getting there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a young Republican, but I'm getting there.
Getting there yet.
I'm getting there. So I've seen some things, you know, and, you know, obviously you can look back, you can trend things, and you can see what homeownership was before and what it is now. And my community is struggling so much. And I'm not specifically talking about District 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about Pittsburgh. I'm talking about Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about young people trying to get a start in life.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I don't think that any major corporation investment firm should be able to come in with hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars and create a monopoly in the local real estate game.
Right, right.
I feel as though for young people, I got a house, okay? I'm not speaking for me, but I'm not one of these people that I get through the door and then I shut it behind me.
No, no,
that's not me. I'm pulling people up onto the life.
Yeah, raft. Exactly.
You know, that's how I try to be, you know, like.
And if you really think about it, Dave, that's how this party is. We're lifted up from the bootstraps, not necessarily just like, oh, here, hand you everything and here you go. Hand you the keys to the car. Here it is.
We try to be. And I think as we build a bigger tent, we are getting better with that. But sometimes you get so much pushback where people think that the trickle down effect is like end all be all. And it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, well, you know, these corporations, that's where your 401k's at. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. Let me be extremely blunt about it. I don't care. You know what I care about, Bob? Here's what I care about.
Sure.
I care about people that want to break into real estate being able to do so without competing with investment firms that can pay $500,000 cash. For a house or for a property, I don't see residential. Now, what is that? Is that 4 and under or 5 and under as far as doors?
I believe 4 and under if I have it correct.
So it's either 4 doors or less or it's 5 doors or less. Now, it's for multi-unit properties. It can be a single family. It can be a duplex or it can be a multi-unit just for people that don't know that jargon that goes up to 4 or 5 units.
Yeah.
So once you get to 6 or however many units and above, you're talking commercial.
I think as soon as you hit 6, now I might be wrong on this, but I think as soon as you hit 6, then I believe you have to have an HOA.
Yeah.
And that's when local government gets involved there. But to your point, I agree with it.
When you get into commercial real estate, and it's important that I make that distinction here.
Sure, sure.
Commercial real estate, I have absolutely no problem with these corporations or these investment firms coming in and trying to make an investment and trying to make a profit.
Sure.
That's what businesses are supposed to do. You're in business to make money, not lose it. I get it. But all residential property should be out of play.
Agreed.
Should know, that is not a foundation for someone's 401k. That's not a foundation for investment firms that are losing too much money in the commercial space because of COVID or whatever. So they're trying to pad. That is not a space where instead of them buying gold because it was an asset that retains value, they're now buying houses for cash and they're letting them sit empty because they expect those to grow at 3 to 5% a year, just like gold. Whatever. That's not a vehicle for that. That's a vehicle for societies, for young men and women to be able to start families, to buy a place to live. That's a foundation for them to have a life, actually.
It's a foundation for the American dream. So just to clarify, you're saying that, like, hey, I don't want any big bank competing with me whenever I'm going out and I'm trying to buy let's take a duplex in Franklin Park that's going for, oh, I don't know. Let's say it's going for $250, but, you know, with a slight value add or something along those lines, you could probably get it up to $4 or $4.5 million, maybe even $500,000. Is that what you're saying? Is that
banks,
correct?
Corporations, investment firms.
Sure.
No big out-of-state players like that should be allowed to purchase residential property.
I firmly agree.
That should be for people
you.
Like, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be allowed to.
No.
You should absolutely. There's already legislation built around how much property people like us can own in a certain given area. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that should be for people like us. If I want to buy a duplex or you want to buy a duplex, I should have to compete against you, not,
sure.
you know,
sure.
BlackRock.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I mean, and these people can come in and, you know, think of what property costs in California or New York versus what it costs in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
You can come in and buy 10 houses for the value of one out there.
Right.
So these right. people are coming in and they're buying huge portfolios to the point where you can move the market as far as what rent is. And I'm seeing, and this isn't even political.
Hmm.
I mean, it's politics, but I don't want to see young Democrats struggle either.
Right. Right.
I don't want to see them struggle. I want to see them have a family.
That's how much of a caring guy you are.
I want to see them be able to build a future. A lot of these young kids, they buy into this socialist utopia because they don't see a future in the current system that we have.
Right.
And they don't hear people on our side talking about those struggles. People on our side, and I got to call people on our side out about this.
Sure.
They say, oh, you're buying a coffee. Oh, well, what about that avocado toast? You know, like, sorry, yeah. I'm not buying a house for $10,000.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the average car right now is, I mean, because we're talking about how much money's worth at this point.
Sure.
After all the printing and everything and else. Look at USAID. So
well said.
We've been getting raked over the coals, but we don't have the spending power. The average car right now is like $45,000.
That's bonkers. Yeah. Yeah.
I think agree. That's like, if you Google that, I'm going to be somewhere within 5,000.
Sure.
I'm
sure.
telling you, but that's what the average car is right now. If you want to go buy a new car, mm-hmm. there ain't no old cars. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
Thanks.
True.
Thanks, Cash for Clunkers. You know what I mean?
Well
so
said.
You have yeah. to go and you have to buy these expensive cars.
Yeah.
How many people right now can go afford to buy a car for 50 bands?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go buy a starter house.
Yeah, in Pittsburgh. Yeah, yeah.
You go buy a starter house somewhere where you're probably not going to get shot.
That's yeah.
For 200,000.
Easy.
That, that might need work.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Come on, dude. We're not setting the next generation up for success.
Right.
We need to care about these people and we need to look out for them. Everything cannot come down to how profitable is this.
True.
Sometimes it's got to come down to people.
Right.
Sometimes it's got to come down to the community. Sometimes it's got to come down to, you know, like you have these giant corporations talking about things like, oh, well, we're not producing the population. We have to bring in, we yeah. have to bring in immigrants.
Well, and that goes to my larger
we're
point.
We're not producing the population though, Bob, because you're not giving people a starter.
Exactly. Exactly. If you really break it down, it goes all the way back to the financial crisis in 08.
Yeah.
And if you read the book, The Lords of Easy Money, what did they want to do in those Fed minutes? And those Fed minutes are by the way, they're 10 years. They get to hold on to those for 10 years, just mm-hmm. so we're clear. What did they want to do? They flooded the zone with liquidity. And what did they do? They built in the
QE.
Cato Institute / whatever outfit you want to say and be like, oh, let's bring in these migrants and let them tap dance across the border here and magically they're here and they're competing for jobs usually at a lower rate.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I was on city council
mm-hmm.
and I had any influence over anyone
mm-hmm.
or if I was mayor of this city, I would take a look at the numbers, the real numbers, the hard numbers that they have through the data, not just what you read in an article, okay, but all the data. I would look and see what that volume of housing was. And I would tell these big investment firms, you don't have to sell it all tomorrow. I don't want you to collapse the economy here locally
no,
as far as real estate, the real estate prices.
Micro
because
or
that's
macro.
Because that's going to have like a rubber band effect
on
local real estate people. And, you know, again, it comes down to community and the local real estate people are part of the community and we love those people.
Absolutely.
And we want them to be successful and we want them to make money and to keep improving our communities and repairing homes and
right.
and making these big, beautiful homes that they're, you know, flipping and that they're, you know, doing work on. But I would say you guys have 4 years. You sell 25% next year, 25 the year after that, 25 the year after that, and then you finish it in the fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
You got 4 years, you sell up to 25%. each year out into the market. That way you allow them to, you know, kind of adjust their sales.
Sure.
Because I'm not saying that I hate these organizations or these companies. They're going to do the most profitable thing that's legal.
Right.
That's what they're going to do.
Sure.
It's up to us to legislate that, you know?
Absolutely.
But I think that would be a good compromise for everybody. But we have to get back to supporting our youth, to making it so that young men and women can buy a house. How do you expect someone to start a family? They can't even buy a house. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Come on.
That's well
be
said.
Be serious.
Yeah.
And we love Pittsburgh, and we love Pittsburghers. I love the Democrats here. I love the Republicans here. I love the independents here. I love the people that don't vote. You know, anybody here that's not breaking into your car in the middle of the night or, you know, out there assaulting people or, you know, doing whatever. All the good, hardworking people, doesn't matter what their party affiliation is. All the people that are making this city better every day. We love them, period.
Right, true. And not only that, I mean, if you think about it, the original Constitution was written to say life, liberty, and the pursuit of property, if you recall. But yeah, we want, now it's, or I should say, it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So we want people, we want all walks of life, regardless of party, to pursue happiness in however they see fit.
Well, and you know, something else that is killing us are the energy costs, which with Trump in, I think we're going to be better off. But Trump, and I hate to say
Well, to jump in a little bit, I also think that as much as Shapiro is bad, I think that the Reggie stuff is even worse. Hell, heck, you even saw a coal plant that was seemingly demolished right in the middle of the state. You know, that coal produces energy and keeps costs down, not the other way around. It's not wind power.
Yeah.
It's not solar power.
Even when the sun's down, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You want all the above energy policy. You don't necessarily want to just, you know, cut off your nose to spite your face. I mean, that's not, you know, nobody's winning there. The costs aren't lower there.
Right.
If anything, it's the direct opposite.
Yeah, I mean, and even if you want to provide these people with a tax subsidy or a tax break, you know, where you just, not you're giving them grants and you're giving them taxpayer money, but you're just allowing them to pay less. Even if you wanted to help them out to do like the clean coal plants, you know, and by God, this is Pittsburgh. We have all these robotics companies here.
Yeah.
We have all these, you know, tech
this
companies.
This is steel town.
Quote, tech companies here. Well, it used to be. Now it's STEAL town.
Yeah.
You know, now it's a different kind of steel city. But,
unfortunately, yes.
But, you know, why don't you innovate a little bit instead of trying to shut the coal plants down? Why don't you try to make them better? We have such an abundance of it, you know? And I mean, there are so many jobs. And as what Trump has said, and many other people in the energy sector that talk about this have said, the price of your energy will affect the price of everything.
Absolutely.
Because everyone has to keep the lights on. Everyone has to, you know, it takes energy to produce anything.
Well, think about what happened whenever Biden initially walked in the door. Mm-hmm. Regardless if you think it's legitimate or illegitimate or not, I tend to believe it's illegitimate, but that's my opinion.
Talking about Alaska?
Yeah. No, Biden and his energy policy.
Yeah, you're talking about the Alaska pipeline?
Well, that, and then not only that, you also had him cut down the Keystone pipeline too. So you essentially had a run on energy, or you had a shut off demand essentially, and no supply to it.
Here's the thing about those pipelines that some people don't understand.
Hmm.
That product's going to move either way.
Yeah.
A pipeline is the safest, most efficient, and not just efficient as far as time, but energy efficient.
Right.
Way to move a product.
Exactly.
Now you're going to have to what? You're going to put it on,
you're
going to put it on
truck.
Rail.
You're going to put it on a diesel. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Or you're going to put it on a diesel. Correct.
Truck.
Yeah, I mean, and this is, these are the things which I try to have smart conversations and empathetic. Like, I get it. I care about the environment too. But you caring about the environment and being ignorant doesn't do anything for anybody. That doesn't make anything better for anyone.
That's beautifully
but like,
said.
You know, like, as far as energy goes, like, you know, what Trump had said is bringing energy down is going to help everybody. And, you know, our energy prices are, they're pretty high. I mean, I think my energy prices are up 200% from pre-COVID.
Sure.
But, you know, I just see some of the stuff that we're doing now. Like, did you see that they're trying to bring back up Three Mile Island?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I.
Well, they're talking
about
that.
Doesn't shock me. But wasn't Microsoft involved with that? They're like, oh, yeah, Microsoft wants it.
That's my understanding. Mm. Now, they may be just a partner in it. That was me talking to somebody, and that's what the person told me.
Okay.
I didn't look too far into it.
Sure.
It's been busy.
Sure.
As you know, it's been signature season.
Mm-hmm.
It's been door knocking season. It's been, you know, special election season.
Walk until your feet hurt.
Yeah, it's been
exactly.
crazy.
Exactly.
But that's what someone told me. I don't know that 100% for sure.
Sure.
But, you know, I don't really agree with it.
Really?
I don't really agree
with
it.
What makes you say that, Dave?
So I'm all for energy. Mm-hmm. Okay. But do we just want to bring this back online to power data centers?
Or just to suffice to power
AI?
Yeah.
So that people can talk to their telephone instead of using Google at 10x the energy cost?
True.
So my problem isn't bringing this online. My problem is I feel we have so much energy here.
Sure.
And
true.
I feel that we need to say, okay, if you guys want to come in and you want to play this, you know, game with the data centers, which I don't like anyway, or with AI, which I think is useless. The way that it's being used now, I think it's pretty useless. AI or LLMs are being used right now in place of people Googling things. They are being used right now. Draw me a picture of a cat riding a motorcycle. You know, they used right now.
It's used for silly stuff.
Yeah, they're being used right now. Hey, I want to cheat on my college exam. Please write me a 10-page essay about, you know, why the world is round. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Or whatever. Or something goofy. You know?
Or even the with that Apple intelligence. They're like, oh, make this thing sound better.
I wrote this paragraph.
Make it sound lighter.
If you're talking like we get involved in healthcare or we get involved in something like that, something that's actually useful. And I understand you have to train these things and you have to build them.
Sure.
You can't just start out that way and kind of box off everything else.
Sure.
But, you know, you're going to bring up that, you know, plant for this.
Yeah.
What about the people that are already here?
Or,
you wouldn't bring it up to bring my energy cost down. You wouldn't bring it up to bring the station's energy cost down. You wouldn't bring it up so that our food costs less. You weren't willing to do that for anybody, for any other reason other than to help and boost up the corporatocracy, because we ain't living in you know, any kind of a civilization that our parents lived in. You know, like, we used to have capitalism. Capitalism has been dead a bare minimum of 20 years.
You have capitalism with no capitalists. That's the problem.
Well, you have crony capitalism. You know?
Or as Brandeisian, where you have these large concentrations of power that are intertwined with government.
Tell me how 2008 happened with all those banks. Tell me what part of capitalism where
that was the cornerstone.
That's it.
That's why I say 20 years. Was the key that picked the lock hey, we had to magically bail out all these banks.
It ain't over.
Exactly.
It ain't over,
right.
Bob.
And now they're getting to the point where, you know, these lovely tech companies that magically want to have all these data centers with AI, not only that we have the corporatists that are like, oh, yeah, let's put in all these data centers. But then again, you also have the, the AI companies that seemingly lost lost the high ground to the Chinese Communist Party with this DeepSeek.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, that's right. But they want another bailout too. Whenever they get on MSDNC and they talk about, oh, we need a Marshall Plan or we need all this money, they're essentially saying, hey, we want another bailout too.
They want quantitative easing.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and that's not so. Like, capitalism is supposed to be, you have the freedom to succeed or to fail.
Right.
There's nothing built into actual capitalism where something is too big to fail.
Sure.
That's not a part of capitalism.
Sure.
So, like, my problem isn't necessarily that I don't want to say I'm totally against, you know, all the stuff that we just talked about, but I'm against putting that over people.
Right.
I'm against putting that over society. So what I would say, if I was elected, and any elected officials that are trying to hold on for dear life, and maybe you're not following this, just scratch this down.
Take down your number two pencil.
Yeah, get it out. You guys ready? Okay. What you need to do is you need to come up with a contract where X amount, X percent of all produced energy has to go to residential neighborhoods. If X percent doesn't go to residential neighborhoods, we don't need it and we don't want it. Because if we're not good enough, AI is not good enough. And these data centers just prop up the technocracy and the surveillance state.
Ooh.
That's what they do.
Okay.
Right?
I like it.
And who was that the other day? Was it Larry Elder?
I believe.
That was talking about.
I believe so, yeah.
Basically, it would be okay to have what do they have in China? They have those
they have social credit score.
Social credit score. Basically saying it would be okay to rule out, like, you know, a surveillance state with a social credit score and that would be okay because that would make things safer.
Right.
Safer. That would just give the higher ups just, you know, more power.
That's
exactly
right. You don't want, we're our anti-surveillance state. And if anything, we're anti, I don't want to say anti. Well, I'm
pro-liberty.
Pro-liberty and anti-Patriot Act. Let's put it that way.
I'm pro-liberty.
I support
communities. I support individuals. I stand for all that stuff. I'm a small government guy. Some of this stuff can be good, but you have to pay attention because very easily things that could be good are used for things that are not so good. Yeah. So if you're going to plug these data centers in so that we can, you know, be more efficient at killing kids in, you know, Ukraine or, you know, Yemen or in Palestine or something like that, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to use it for healthcare or something to like maybe better diagnose cancer or, you know, whatever else,
all for it.
I'm in. But we have to make sure that we keep the rails on this thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you guys very much. Very much appreciate this discussion. We're just about out of time here. And I know Sam DeMarco, of course, the former chairman of the RCAC, the Republican Committee of Allegheny County. We'll be proud because this is almost like the next generation of his brainchild. So we're going to wrap things up here. But any final things you guys want to plug, promote, et cetera, throw out there to the people?
After you, Dave.
No, I think that we're going to be back. I think that this is an evolution of media and outreach for RCAC. And definitely stay tuned and check in because there will be more outreach coming through media. But I'd just like to, again, thank everybody that's participating in these special elections and getting involved with local committees and campaigns and helping us push the ball forward. And, you know, I appreciate you guys having me on and giving me the opportunity to come and discuss some of the local issues.
We want to thank our main man, Daryl, who's been quite a host, to say the absolute least. We want to thank him for everything that he's done. And we also want to thank those hardworking patriots like you that helped build our country, and it was hardworking patriots like you that went out November 5th and saved our country. And we want to thank every one of you. Not only is this is the beginning of the end, but also the end of the beginning. So we love this media. We want to thank Daryl and thank everybody at WJAS 1320 and 99.1 FM. And the best is yet to come. So I can't thank you enough. And my website, patriotfinancialserv.com. In case you want to get your last minute tax filing in here, by all means, feel free to reach out to me at your leisure. And once again, thank my brother from another mother, even though he's red hair and came out of the womb fighting, my main man, Sergeant David Gehring.
That's right.
Can't thank you enough. And also thank John Schneider and Jason Ritchie.